You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Looking at verses 1 through 6 today. We're continuing our series, What's in a Name? Today we'll be looking at the name Adonai. So Genesis chapter 15, looking at verses 1 through 6. You know, when you go to museums or you go to the zoo or you go to a variety of places, they have tour guides there, and you have the option when you go there, you can have them lead you around to different exhibits, and they can teach you things you don't know. But if you're like me, I don't like the pace that these people normally go, and they spend way too much time on things that I don't really care about, and so I will do museums the way I want to do museums. I want to do monkeys and things at the zoo the way that I want to do it. I don't want to go with what tour guides say and tour guides do. Now, unfortunately, this is sometimes how we see God. We see our Lord, we see God of the universe as some kind of cosmic tour guide that we have the choice to follow. And we look through life and we have different situations that we face, and we go, I don't think I really want to follow his path and his plan. No thanks. I'm good. I'll do what I want to do. But that's not the God that we see portrayed in Scripture. We see the Lord as a king who demands our obedience, not a poor God that we can choose to dismiss. So my hope for this message is to challenge you to trust the sovereign rule of Adonai in your life. So let's look at our passage, we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Genesis chapter 15. Well, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted as righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you through song. Lord, we are reminded of your mercy and your goodness in these songs. And Lord, as believers, we have so much to sing about. And so, Lord, now we ask you to speak to us from your word. Lord, we believe that you're a God who speaks. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so point number one is to trust in Adonai's rule. See, the name Adonai is found over 400 times in the Bible, which is the plural of the word Adon. It's in our Bibles as capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Remember, we've looked at several different names. Sometimes God's name is all capitals for Lord, or sometimes it can be capital G and lowercase O-D. And so the different ways that it's depicted in your Bibles says specific names about God. And specific names are given by God so that we can know God truly for the situations that we go through, and so we can know the character of God better. So the name capital L, L-O-R-D, Lord, means ruler or master. Now in Scripture, this can apply to humans as well, and it still applies to humans today. You can go to England and you have lords and ladies over there still. But this is a different type of Lord, and we're going to get into that here in just a moment. You see, Psalm 97:5 says this, "The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth." Now, some of you guys may know this, you history majors, but geographically, does anybody know what the largest empire ever in the world was? What empire owned the most land? You know, maybe you don't have to say it out loud because this is always intimidating to people. British. But any takers? Anybody have any guesses?
British Empire.
The British Empire is the largest geographical empire that ever existed. Now, so there's other ones that come close. Geographically, they owned over at their height, not now, over 13 million square miles was under their rule. 23% of the world's population at one point in time was under British rule. And compared to most other empires, that is staggering numbers. But friends, what the British Empire and other empires rule pale in comparison to our great and awesome God. You see, Adonai, the Lord, rules all space and all time. Solar systems, stars, planets are all under His jurisdiction. The earth, humans and their souls, the very hairs on your head, the sparrows that fly in the sky, every atom and molecule are under the rule of our great and awesome God, before the Lord of all of the earth. So Abram had to trust that Adonai, the Lord, could fulfill His promise. He particularly was dealing with ownership and timing. So let's look at our passage here today. Look at verse 1. "So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He says, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great.'" Just giving us a little bit of context for this situation. 10 years had passed, and Abram still didn't have children. You see, God had promised Abraham that He would make him a great nation just a couple chapters back in Genesis chapter 12. He said, "Abram, I'm going to, as the stars in the sky and the sand, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do great things through you." And Abram, even 10 years ago, Abram was old and his wife was old and they were beyond childbearing years. Even then it was miraculous. And so Abram is excited that God's doing this. And then 10 years later, God still hasn't done what God said He would do. Well, I can understand where Abram's at. He's a little discouraged, maybe a little antsy, maybe even a little doubtful at this point, saying, "God, whatever you were going to do with me, surely you would have done already. I've been there." God says, "Hey, this is what I want." Then God's timing doesn't line up with my timing. See, Abram trusted God's promise, but he didn't understand His timing. Look at verse 2 and 3. "But Abram said, 'O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir.'" So he's saying, "God, I've got my servant who's a great guy, and I guess you want, maybe that's what you want. I'm not really sure. He's going to have all the stuff. He's not my child like you promised, but I guess that's what we'll do." But he was having considerable trouble trusting God and His timing. But in verse 2, is Abraham appealed to God's character as owner. Look at verse 2. It says, "But Abram said, 'O Lord God.'" Now, God, this is a little tricky because we talked about how Lord is normally, Yahweh is normally L-O-R-D, capital letters. But when you have Adonai in front of it, it changes things. But so he is saying, Adonai Yahweh, O Lord God, O Master and personal God, what will you give me for I continue child? Then we see in verses 4 through 5 that Adonai, the Lord, reaffirmed his promise to Abraham. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. He said, Abraham, I haven't changed. The promise hasn't changed. I know the timing doesn't line up with the way that you like it, but he's saying, my timing is perfect, and the way that I'm going to do this is going to bring you the most goodness and me the most glory. And verse 6 says, and he believed the Lord, and he believed the Lord. This is an incredible characteristic of Abram. We see over and over again that he believed the Lord, not just believed in God, but he believed God. He said, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, this is a different sermon for a different day, but Abram wasn't considered righteous because he was exceptionally righteous. Why was he considered righteous, church? Well, I want to make sure everybody's awake, okay? I don't like these boring services, okay? So why was he considered righteous, church? He believed. He didn't try his hardest, and he made himself some godly ambassador and stood before God and men, and God said, you're righteous. You've earned your way to me, Abram. That's not the story of Abraham. He was in a far-off country, and God interrupted his life. And because Abram believed, he was righteous. And brothers and sisters, by the way, that's true for us today. I said this is a different sermon. I wasn't going to preach it, but while we're here. Because we believe, we are righteous. I have no righteousness on my own. If I stood before this holy God on my own righteousness, I would stand guilty. But God has made me righteous through Jesus Christ. I believed in him. I've trusted in him as his perfect righteousness. His blood covers me. And so now I stand righteous, not because I actually am righteous, but because of what Jesus has done. Now that's a different sermon for a different day, so let's keep on moving, all right? Now, every one of us has passwords for our devices, and the more the future rolls on, the more devices and passwords we're going to need. And so to get onto my phone, you got to know my special pattern. And it's very complex. You would never figure. And I've got, to get on my banking, I've got passwords and characters and get on my computer. And so that keeps people off of stuff that I don't want, that grants me access when I know the password to the things that I need passwords for. Surrender is the password that allows God to express, reveal, and manifest himself in your life. The fulfillment of many of God's promises are tied to your surrender to him as Lord, to him as Adonai. See, you plus the Lord, you plus Adonai, is far greater than 100 of you without God's ownership. Now, as a parent, we often have this debate in our house, and as any parent that's ever existed has had this debate in their house, and kids wrestle, and they start saying, this is mine, and one kid pulls out a toy, right? And they say, no, that's my toy, and that's my toy. The answer is, when I tell them, when I get frustrated enough, and I say, you know whose toy that is? That's my toy. It's in my house. I paid for that toy. I'm feeding you. It's all mine. And God, when he says that I am Lord of all, he says, it's all mine. Every part of it is mine. Amen. That your kids are mine, God says. Your finances are mine. Your body and your health are mine. He said, your very soul is mine. He said, I rule supremely. And to access many of the blessings that God has for us, it comes through the pathway of surrender. See, to be who we were meant to be, we must learn to trust the Lord. Point number two is trust in Jesus Christ as Adonai in your life. You can turn there if you like. I'll be looking at Romans chapter 10, a passage that we are very familiar with as believers. If not, you should be. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is what, church? Not Jesus Christ is your genie. Jesus Christ is your get out of hell card. Jesus Christ is your dream maker. He says Jesus Christ is what? Your Lord. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, then you will be saved. You see, the word kurios is a translation of the word Adonai. You don't have the word Adonai in the New Testament, but you have that in the Old Testament. But the equivalent to that is kurios. That means Lord. And it's one of the many indications of Jesus' power and authority and deity. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's not talking about Jesus Christ as a wealthy landowner. It's talking about Jesus Christ as the supreme owner of everything, of you and me. See, our problem is that we have too many masters. I look around people in this culture and they have lots of different lords. Money is their lord. It rules over them. I see people whose activities rule over them. And they can't do things for God because their schedules are the lord of their life. We can put people as lord in our life and all other things besides Jesus Christ are lessened Lord. See, many people want the Savior, but they don't want the Lord. Are you with me, church? So they want the Savior part. That's really good. I mean, we're just saying about God's mercy, unmerited favor, that God gives us grace, God gives us mercy, even though we don't deserve that, and because of that, that you and I can be saved, and that we can be made righteous, we can stand before a holy God when we die. Oh man, I love the Jesus Savior part. Ooh, I like that part. But that's not where the Bible ends. So that Jesus Christ is our Savior, oh, but He is our great Lord. We said earlier, the word Lord means Master, the ruler of our life. Many people like the donuts, don't like the results of the donuts, right? You eat donuts, you become a donut. That's been my experience so far. We like salvation, but many people don't like the surrender. Douglas MacArthur, when a famous American general, when Japan had surrendered, he was meeting with one of their generals and came to bring reconciliation to these two nations. And the Japanese leader held out his hand to make peace. But Douglas MacArthur said, wait, sir, you must surrender your sword before we can be friends. You must surrender your sword before we can have peace. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus tells us. That we don't get to go to Jesus just on our own terms. We have to surrender the sword of our will to our great God. Yes, we want the Savior, but you need the Lord just as much. See, in the Bible, there's no separating Christ's lordship from Him being Savior. In the New Testament, they are not separate things. And here, let me give an example of this. I hope can bring some clarity to what I'm trying to say. When I was young, I was saved when I was 6 years old. Now, I don't know all the complexity of the gospel and every name of God and all the things about, but I knew that I was a sinner, that I needed the Savior, that I needed Christ as my Savior, the Lord of my life. And so I knew those things. So I trusted Christ legitimately, I believe, when I was 6 years old. And was baptized is what you should do after you've trusted Christ. You follow Him in obedience. And so I did all that. But without going to all my life testimony in this particular sermon, I remember having some negative influences that maybe kept me from thriving as a believer as I should. And so so going to church, but then as teenagers often do, was bending towards rebellion. Y'all ever bent towards rebellion before? Yeah, I've bent towards rebellion a little bit. And I remember being at a youth retreat. Teenagers, come to this youth retreat if you want the Lord to speak to you, by the way, coming up just this next week. It's going to be awesome. That's a different thing. But at a youth retreat, I remember praying before the Lord and saying, Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life. I haven't lived like that lately. I want to take my relationship with you seriously. And God began to do a work in my life, and He has never stopped doing a work in my life since then. But here's what I want you to understand, church, is that when I trusted Jesus Christ and became a believer when I was 6 years old, is that Jesus Christ was my Lord when I was 6 years old, and even though I walked in rebellion for some time, He was still my Lord during that time. You take Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is never a separating between the two. And I know a lot of people, this is their testimony. Hey, I had some experience, or maybe I did know the Lord, but I kind of wandered from Him. And maybe you weren't living like Christ was your Lord, but make no mistake, He is Lord. They cannot be separated, the two. One famous writer said, He is Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. So submitting our hearts, our will, is the challenge of lordship. Now, there's a lot of different reasons, different challenges that keep us from following the Lord, obeying the way that we should. I think one thing is that we are all, as sinners, are rebellious in heart. I, generally speaking, don't like people to tell me what to do. Right? Do you like it when people tell you what to do? I don't. And that's true of God, too, sometimes. But if God is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and He has every right to do that. But my rebellious nature, my rebellious heart, my rebellious wisdom that thinks I know better than God wants to take over. And Jesus says, no, lords don't ask permission. You don't barter with lords. You just do what they say, or you rebel. Those are your options. I think a lot of times people don't follow the Lord because they're fearful. Now, we've all been there. People said, if I surrender my life to the Lord, what's He going to make me do? I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to give any money. I don't want to surrender my life to the Lord. What's He going to make me do? And then we're fearful. That's because we don't know truly who the Lord is. See, Jesus is a Lord you want to follow. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly just and wise. He is all-powerful, and He loves you. And with a track record like that, He is a God. He is a Lord. He is a master worth having. As believers, we must regularly submit our hopes, our dreams, our finances, our relationships, our potential relationships, even our bodies and our plans to Him on a regular basis, saying, Lord, You rule these things. You rule every part of my life. You rule my calendar. You rule my pocketbook. You rule my heart. You're the one who gets to make these decisions. So reveal Yourself, guide me, and help me to follow. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? This is what Adonai, this is what the Lord does in our life. Now, I've been reading through Revelation here in the last couple of weeks. I'm telling you, it excites me. There's some weird stuff going on in the book of Revelation, and it's hard to grasp it all. Some of it's crystal clear. And one of the crystal clear truths of the book of Revelation is that Jesus Christ rules supremely. and that yes, he has allowed a world to still live in rebellion, but the day will come when Jesus Christ comes to earth and rules in power. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I look forward to that day. I mean, I look forward to the day that the supreme God of the universe rules completely. I look forward to that day when he rules my heart completely and I don't struggle and I don't battle with sin and he rules it. I look forward to that. I look forward to government structures and a world that's no longer groaning under sin, where Jesus Christ rules and we thrive under his ever beautiful rule. I mean, I look forward to that day. And man, when you get discouraged, when you get frustrated, when you've been listening to too many bad news sources, when you've been focusing on negative things, and it's easy to do, listening to gossipy people, just don't forget that Jesus Christ rules. And that the day is coming when he will rule completely. But you can begin that process now of allowing Jesus to rule your heart. I'll close with this story. There was a famous preacher that was speaking, and it's a true story, by the way, and he was preaching about the lordship of Christ. And one young lady was stirred by this truth. But she talked to the pastor afterwards and said, I want to submit to the lordship of Christ, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid he's going to send me overseas, and I don't want to go overseas. And the pastor wisely responded this way. He pointed her to Acts chapter 10, which doesn't seem like a place that you would go to. God is speaking to Peter about the dietary laws of the Jews. And he's saying that you don't have to follow this anymore. God made bacon, okay, amen? Yeah. Amen, that's a good part. And God made bacon, okay. All right, that's good. And he said, he's telling Peter, hey, you don't have to follow these anymore, which Peter had followed his whole life as a good Jew would. And here's Peter's response, which was sort of typical Peter, until he got more and more in the grace of Christ. He said this, not so, Lord. Peter, man. Not so, Lord. The pastor said, you got two options. You can cross out, not so, just say Lord. You can cross out Lord and just go with not so. But you can't say, not so, Lord. You can't say, not so, Master. Because servants don't tell the master what he's going to do. My hope for this message is to challenge you to trust the sovereign rule of Adonai, of the Lord, in your life. From personal experience and from the personal experiences and testimonies of hundreds of brothers and sisters I've talked to, the more you lean on Jesus, the easier it is to make him Lord of your life. Amen? My saints have been doing this for a while. Isn't that true? The more you lean on Jesus, the more trustworthy you see him to be. And yeah, he might lead you to some places that you never thought you were going to go and to do things that you were never going to do. I'm just going to tell you now. Being a Baptist pastor in Tucson, Arizona, when I grew up in Florida, was not on my radar screen. It wasn't. And if you told me 20 years ago that's the way it was going to roll, I would have been surprised. But every step of the way, God has prepared me. Every step of the way, God has equipped me. Now, he's stretched me. He's brought me beyond my limitations where I had to lean on him. But every step of the way, my Lord has led me in ways that I am rejoicing, that I never would have picked, but I'm grateful for it. When you submit to the Lord, allow him to rule your life, it opens up blessings that Abraham experienced. The more you learn on lean on Jesus, the easier it is to trust him as your Lord. As we move into invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, during this invitation time, to let God rule. Let him rule every part of your life. Let him rule your timing. God, I want this to happen, and as it hasn't happened yet, I want to be married by this time. I want to have a relationship by this time. I want to have this career by this time. I didn't want to be here by this time. Say, Lord, during this invitation time, I just want to submit my time to you. I want to submit my schedule. I want you to rule every part of that. However you think it should go, I'll go. You tell me to wait, I'll wait. Let God rule in your marriage, letting him be honored and glorified. We're lifting up the name of Jesus. You're growing closer to each other by growing closer to the Lord. You're following his ways. You're following his principles of grace and mercy and forgiveness. This is all part of lordship in your marriage, in your job. Making sure Jesus Christ is Lord of your job, church. We spend so much time at our jobs. It's not, okay, let me get my job done and then I'm going to do some stuff for the kingdom. No, God wants you to have him be Lord of your job. And so the way that you treat people or don't treat people depends on how Jesus is Lord of your life or if he's not. Decisions that you would make, ethical ways that you would do things, conversations that you would have with people. Is he the Lord of your job? I've talked to all sorts of people in this church. Man, I'm talking, they share the gospel at work. They say, I don't care. I don't care what happens. I'm telling you, they are evangelists for the gospel, and they sell insurance. You can be an evangelist for the gospel and do whatever you're supposed to do, just as long as Jesus is Lord of your life and your family and your plans. Oh, your very soul. Make sure Jesus is the Lord of the life of your soul. See, God has given us the opportunity, at least now, at least now, to reject him or to make him Lord. When we become Christians, when we take him as our Lord and our Savior. The Bible says becoming Christian is easy, friend. Turn from our sins. We trust him as our Lord and our Savior. Well, this is the pathway I was going. This was me in charge of my life. I turned from that and I trust you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe everything your Bible says about you. You are the Son of God, that you died in my place, that I can be right, I can be forgiven, I can stand before God by entrusting my soul to Jesus. Does Jesus have lordship of your soul today, friend? Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Yeah, you notice, and in that conversation, never said anything about going to church, giving money, helping old ladies across the street, charitable acts. I didn't say anything about that. What have you done with Jesus? Repent of rebellion. I understand rebellion. I have a rebellious heart. Maybe you've been wrestling with God about something, and you say, God, I know you've told me you want it this way, and I don't want it that way. I want it this way. In this invitation time, to say, God, I surrender. You can rule. You rule. I repent of that. I'm going to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to rest in his lordship. Rest in it. He's good. He's good. Oh, he is so good to me. Rest in it. Rest that he reigns supremely. He's not surprised by what weather does. He's not surprised at what governments do. He's not surprised by difficulties that we have in our life. He's not surprised by any of those things. And you can rest your head on your pillow at night with knowing that God is supremely in charge. Rest in that promise, in those promises today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are our Savior, that you have saved our souls. Lord, I thank you that you are Lord, that you rule our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we want to do it our way. Forgive us when we don't trust you. Forgive us when we're scared. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow you. Well, thank you that you are good, that you're a God worthy of following, that you are completely trustworthy. Lord, I pray for those who maybe haven't given their life to you. They don't know you. Lord, I pray that they would trust you as their Savior today. People stand up. people are singing, Lord, they'd come forward and tell me they want to know Jesus. Thank you for working in this church. Thank you for working in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name.